Our study tonight is out of the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, submitting to God's calling. And the point of this lesson is to submit to the Lord's calling before you end up in the belly of a fish, and you have to be corrected. Since the Abrahamic covenant provided that God would bless the Gentiles through Abraham's seed in Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3, Israel was responsible to proclaim God's truth to the Gentiles. The book of Jonah was addressed to Israel to remind her of her duty to proclaim God's truths to the nations. And Jonah 2, 1 to 10 reveals Jonah's submission to God's calling in that responsibility. So we view the passage for our insight and application. I'd like to read the chapter and then we'll look at it. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of Hades, actually, or Sheol, I cried, and you heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Deliverance is from the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. All right, in Jonah chapter 1, 1 to 3, we learn that Jonah tried to avoid God's calling to evangelize the Assyrians of Nineveh by fleeing from the presence of the Lord in a boat that was headed to Tarshish in southern Spain. Tarshish is just north of Gibraltar, so it's just about as far as they could go in the known world at the time. West, that's the opposite direction of Nineveh, of course. However, the Lord intercepted Jonah and he caused him to end up in the belly of a great fish. This crisis led Jonah to pray. I don't know of anybody else who would not pray in this crisis. And he later recorded that prayer in Jonah chapter 2, 2 to 9 as follows. This entire prayer actually is in a form of a poem. So I'm pretty sure he constructed it after sometime after he was out of the fish. Jonah called out to the Lord in his distress out of the belly of the fish that was essentially like the belly of the grave or Sheol, and the Lord graciously heard Jonah's cry for help. I had studied in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and the author there, John Hanna, who is my history prof at seminary, had said that there's no cry of help in this prayer. There's just thanksgiving to the Lord. Well, the prayer itself is recorded after Jonah was out of the belly of the well, but he admits in chapter 2, verse 2, that he cried unto the Lord. So I disagree with the commentary on that. But he called to the Lord in his distress out of the belly of the fish. I think for Jonah, it would have been better if he just drowned. That's what he was hoping when they threw him over. But threw him over, and the Lord says, no, we're going to keep you alive, but in a very difficult situation so that you will think twice about this. So he had a fish swallow him. That was worse because he had to live with that. Well, the prophet realized the severity of his predicament, that he'd been cast into the depths of the seas with the waves and the billows of the ocean passing over him. What had caused Jonah to say that he had been driven from the Lord's sight? It's interesting. He wanted to go away from the Lord's sight. Here he is. Figuratively, he's out of the Lord's sight. But, of course, the Lord sees. Nevertheless, the fact that the great fish had swallowed Jonah and he was still alive gave him hope that God wanted him saved. And he expressed confidence that he would be delivered from the fish's belly and therefore once again look upon God's holy temple. Have you ever been in situations like that where you think there's nothing else going to happen, no more bottoms to fall, and then the bottom out of the bottom falls out. But then you still get caught. Okay, and that's typical of Jonah. He realized, you know, God's not going to let him disappear off of the face of the earth. He has a fish there. So, you know, you can't out-think the Lord, and you can't out-beat him. And the Lord, if you go toe-to-toe with the Lord in a competition, you'll never win. Jonah again recalled his brush with death, how the ocean waters had closed in over him to take his life, how the deep surrounded him and the weeds were wrapped around his head and the belly of the fish, how he had gone down into the roots of the mountains to the land whose entrapping bars had figuratively closed upon him forever. Some of this imagery, you have to understand, in the ancient Near East, they believed that the earth, they didn't know that the earth was round. They knew that there was a vault in heaven, that there was sort of a dome, but they thought the earth was essentially flat, and then Hades was down somewhere way, way, way down below, but the bases of the mountains and the bases of the seas are pretty much the same. So that's what he's expressing here. He was, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Nevertheless, the Lord God of Jonah had brought up his life from the pit of the grave. For when his life was fainting away, Jonah remembered the Lord and prayed for his deliverance, with that prayer reaching to the Lord in his holy temple. It's a wonderful thing. The holy temple is a long ways away from where Jonah's at. But nevertheless, the Lord could hear. That's because, remember Solomon, when at the dedication of the temple, said that the heaven of the heavens cannot contain thee. How much more this temple? How much less this temple? So that's one thing. You can't get away from the Lord. In conclusion, Jonah acknowledged the fact that those who had regard for vain idols forsake their hope of God's loyal love that could be theirs. The word hesed is really big in this loyal love. God was loyal. He was loyal to his prophet. He was loyal to his promise. He's also loyal to the people of Nineveh. He wants to address their needs. And God is love. In both of those, his loyalty is infinite. His love is infinite. He loves the people of Nineveh. He also loves Jonah. So he's going to address all of these things. But Jonah had trusted in God's loyal love to call unto him for help. So he would vocalize his thanksgiving as he sacrificed to the Lord and pay the vow he had made in the fish that he had given if God delivered him. He vowed, Lord, you get me out of this and I'll pay you a vow or whatever. I had a prophet, San Francisco Baptist Seminary, when I attended there. He was in the Battle of the Bulge. He joined the Army when he was 17. He was underage. But he ended up in the Battle of the Bulge. And he says, I was in a foxhole and I prayed. I said, God, if you get out of this, I'll do it. I'll even preach. I'll do anything you want. So the Lord got him out and he went into the ministry. So he never forgot that. But he says, it was something. You stick your head up and bang, you're getting shot at. And he was terrified. He was just 17 years of age at the time. It was John Peterson, history prophet at San Francisco. Anyway, Jonah ended the record of his prayer by testifying that deliverance belongs to the Lord. And I know it says salvation belongs to the Lord, but it's the word Yeshua, from which we get the word Jesus. It means salvation, but it also means deliverance in a general sense. Well, God then graciously caused the fish to vomit Jonah out upon dry land. In response to Jonah's prayer, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. Now, it's interesting. He could have vomited out in the sea, in Jonah's, 20 miles from shore. But God was gracious. And he could have vomited it out, in 3 feet of water, so Jonah would have to finish the trip. But God managed to get this fish to go all the way to the land, so when he vomited it out, Jonah was actually on dry land. Wasn't even on the beach. That fish must have swum. Anyway, but it was amazing. God's grace is abundantly seen in not only saving Jonah's life, but in not just causing the fish to vomit Jonah out in shallow water, but to go so far as to deposit him on dry land, Jonah's natural habitat. It's real cute when we get into the next chapter of God. It says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Rise, go to Nineveh. And he did. He's not going back in a fish. So God has his way of getting us to do what he wants us to do. So though Jonah had tried to flee from God's presence to avoid God's calling to evangelize Israel's enemy, the Assyrians in Nineveh, the Lord intercepted Jonah, causing him to end up in the belly of a great fish, to cause him to reconsider his rebellious way and call unto the Lord for deliverance. God graciously answered Jonah's prayer for deliverance, causing the fish to vomit him up on dry land where he could heed his initial calling. So if we face seemingly inescapable trials, we should examine our pathway in life to determine if we are trying to avoid God's initial assignment. If we find we are avoiding God's will, may we call unto God for his gracious deliverance in return to fulfilling his assignment. Now there's a disclaimer. Not all such trials are God's chastening, for sometimes Satan repeatedly obstructs our pathways. In 1 Thessalonians 2:17 and 18, Paul says, we tried to get to you once or twice, but we were hindered. Satan hindered us. So sometimes it's Satan who hinders us. But we should at least check our pathway to discern if we are being disciplined by the Lord. A lot of times it's Satan who's bugging us, but sometimes the Lord is on our case. Number three, since the Lord gave Jonah the option of evangelizing the Gentile Assyrians of Nineveh or death, a severe punishment, God had a strong desire for Gentiles to be saved in the Old Testament times, just as he has today. This is a tremendous passage. Liberal theology often tries to treat the God of the Old Testament as a God of judgment, and the God of the New Testament as a God of love, and that God hated Gentiles in the Old Testament, or God of the New Testament is more interested in the Gentiles. Not so. Here you have God giving Jonah the option. Now, you serve me or, you know. And so he served him. So it shows that God had a love for the Gentile people in the Old Testament. And remember, the people of Nineveh, I think it was just 100 years later, the nation actually had to be overcome by the Babylonians because they were so wicked. But until they got to that point, God was concerned about reaching the people of Nineveh. So God's always had a concern for Gentiles. So we should see the strong desire of God to see us disciple the nations today. If God had this type of concern for the Assyrians, who were known as being a brutal and a fierce people, yet they were close at this particular time to repentance, what kind of concern does he have for Gentile nations today? Big concern. So, if God signals that we need to fulfill his assignment or face death, that assignment must be very important. So we should be all the more motivated to fulfill that ministry assignment. God is very, very concerned. He has a very strong will for our lives. He has his mind made up as to what he wants to do with us. And our goal in life should be to find the niche that God has for us, that area that he wants us to fill, and fill it. And if we do, there's blessing. My mother once told me, she said, "Son, the unhappiest people I have ever met are people who miss the calling of God." She said, not only are they miserable, but they make everyone else around them miserable because they're trying to make up for it in their own way. So it's very, very important. Don't miss the calling of God. Follow his leading. Yield to him. And I'll tell you what, you'll find it's the best thing that you could have done in your life, outside of accepting the Lord Jesus, of course.